Yes. Are you here?
Yes.
Amen. Wow, I'm excited. I'm excited about all these miracles. Roy, man, pink boxing gloves. Wow, how awesome. I've never seen a pair of pink boxing gloves before. I don't know if you have either or not, but that is. Yeah, I know. Those are totally rocking awesome. Thank you all. What a huge blessing. And how good God is. Amen. He is good. He is good beyond your human language to describe. Can I say that? Would that be accurate? He's good beyond your human language to describe. God is good. What words could you fathom or find to describe the goodness of God? God is good. In fact, the word said, it's the goodness of God that leads men to a place of repentance. You know, God's good to you when you're not good to Him. Oh, come on. Are you with me today? God's good to you. He's faithful to you when you're unfaithful to Him. Wow. Boy, I'm thankful for the goodness of God. Amen. And for all the new families here today, we're blessed that you're here. We have new families visiting. And let's give them a warm Lost Creek welcome. Come on. And I want you to turn in your Bible and listen. I'm like what he said, that we be fertile ground, that our minds and our hearts be fertile ground. The hungrier you are, the better this word will taste to you. Okay? If you've already filled up on something coming here today, this word won't, I mean, you'll sit there and pick at your food. Mom said, why are you picking at your food? Because I already got stuff to eat going over to Kentucky. Yeah, I stopped and I got tater wedges and I stopped and got this, got that, and got home. I mean, got over to the home place and go in. She'd have this big table spread. Spent all this time working, slaving over, sweat popping out, red face. You know how Mamma Reynolds was. You know, set this down and I'd sit there sometimes and just pick at my food. She'd say, what's wrong? Why aren't you hungry? Well, you know, I didn't have the nerve to tell her I already ate before I got here because that would not be cool. How many know that would not be cool? So I just picked at my food, made some kind of an excuse. This morning, you know, it tastes better when we're hungry. When you're hungry, the Word of God will taste better. I promise you 100%. For all those who are here today hungry, thank the Lord for you. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. He said, you shall be filled. So how many is ready to be filled with the goodness and grace of God today? He has a word that's really been stirring on my heart. I'm going to start out with the scripture. And, you know, usually I might make a reference to this, but usually this is found in the book of Isaiah, chapter 40. And I know most of you probably already know where I'm going to go when I get there. And I'm not necessarily going to talk about the eagle, although the eagle is worthy to talk about for a minute. But I'm not going to go to the eagle this morning. I am going to go to an aspect of the eagle, and God compares his people, or us, lots of times to what he does in the life of an eagle. Because an eagle is meant to soar. Your life, your spirit is meant to soar. You're meant to dwell. Are you listening to me? Are you watching to me? I'm not sure. Some of you are like deer in headlight, okay? All right. It's too young to check out. It's too quick to check out. You're missing the main course right here, okay? So the thing is this morning, the eagle is worthy to note this morning because there is attributes and powerful things that we need to distinguish about the eagle that is, it's worth noting because these are scriptures that I've hung on to through the years, okay? But God has spoken to me a lot through these scriptures, and he keeps speaking to me. Hallelujah. Isaiah 40 and verse 28. And if you want to stand for the word, you can. But I'm not going to be religious. This is not to honor me. This is to respect and reverence God's word, okay? Because God's going to use that word to change our life today. Amen. Amen. Are you with me? I'm not sure. Amen. Okay. Here we go. He says, have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth. He neither faints nor is weary. Did you see that, Steve? God don't faint. You know what? Today, you ought to shout right there. Because if God fainted in your circumstances, you'd be in a heap of trouble. If he fainted during your diagnosis, you'd be in a heap of trouble. But I'm glad the God that we worship and serve rises up in our circumstances. Amen. Are you hearing what I'm saying? All right, I'm telling you, God's going to do something in here. If your heart's fertile and open to it, God's going to bless your socks off. You already got yours off. Okay? God's going to bless you. He's going to bless you. And I just get blessed reading that. Okay, here we go. He neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak. He gives power to the weak. And to those who have no might, he increases strength. To those who don't have it this morning, God says, I'm going to increase your strength. Do you believe the word of God? That's the only way God's word's going to help you, if you receive it. Amen. All right. Even the young shall faint and be weary. Everybody say weary. And the young man shall utterly fall. They're going to fall. They're going to fall. Life is going to hit you and you're going to fall. You're going to hit a wall and you're going to fall. Are you hearing what I'm saying? But we can learn as the sparrow does. And that's what Psalms 84 is about. When you're up against the wall, that's where you learn to build your nest. There's where you find your place of security. And hope is when you're up against it and you don't seem like you can go any further. It's there that God satisfies the soul. It's there that God feeds the weary soul. Amen. Amen. If God could teach us that in that nature, moment of nature, what sparrows do, they find their most secure place when they're up against the wall. Whoa, listen, if Charlie, if you were never against the wall, you would never understand the everlasting arms of God. Oh, pray that I hold it together, okay? Are you with me still? Okay, I've got them all discombobulated. All right, I think I got it, bub. Listen, you guys can't wire me up. Ain't you learned that after all these years? You can't wire me up, Roy. All right. Yes. All right, here we go. I'll finish this. Verse 31. But those who wait, everybody say wait. Those who wait. Those who've been waiting. There are people in this building this morning. You've been waiting a long time for your answer. You've been waiting a long time for your miracle. You've been waiting a long time for your breakthrough. Well, God says breakthrough is on the way. In fact, listen, this is what the Lord's saying. I already put it in the mail. Did you hear that, Miss Selena? God said, I put it in the mail already. It's handed your way. Turn to somebody and say, it's coming my way. Did you hear that? You ought to shout right there. You ought to shout your shoes and your knees to the nubs. Right there. God says, it's coming your way. It's coming your way. And I'm going to let you sit down. This one. He says, but those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. Everybody say, renew my strength, Lord. Are you listening to that? Are you hearing that? Renew my strength, Lord. Renew my strength, Lord. Renew my strength. They shall mount up. Woo, mount up. Mount up. Mount up. Hallelujah. Mount up. Get up. Rise up. Stand up. Hallelujah. He says, they shall mount up with wings like eagles. Listen to this. Here we have this word again. They shall run and not be weary. Everybody say weary.
Weary.
Weary. They shall walk and not faint. You may be seated. Thank you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your faithfulness, Lord. Are you hearing me right now? Thank him for his faithfulness. Do you know it's all right to celebrate the faithfulness of God? Some of y'all don't act like you got it figured out yet. It's all right to celebrate the faithfulness of God. The word says praise is comely. That means it's expected. It's what people do. When your children win, you celebrate their victory. When they get a trophy, you celebrate their victory. When they get baptized, you celebrate their victory. When Jesus blesses you with his faithfulness, you celebrate his faithfulness. We come together. That's one of the purposes of coming together this morning, is to celebrate God's faithfulness, to tell the good things that God has done for you. He's faithful through the ages because he is the rock of ages. He is the rock in a weary land. He is your only constant in an unconstant world, an insecure world. This morning, I want to talk about that. I'm going to talk about weariness. God's really dealt my heart about this for a good while, about weariness. Weariness is a real deal. It's a real thing. You know, lots of times we, in pastor and leadership, we feel we address the needs that are present. People become more unfaithful. People become more disengaged or that. Sometimes we treat the symptom. Are you hearing what I'm saying today? But there's a core. That means there is something that creates the problem of unfaithfulness and detachment. There are things that cause that. There are things that happen in your life that create that. My own family have told me, Dad, I'm tired. I'm tired. I'm tired. I'm tired. I'm tired. I'm tired. Have you ever been tired before? Have you ever been tired? Have you ever been this in your life? Dog tired. How many knows there's a difference in tired and dog tired? Dog tired means I can't put another step in front of me. I just want to check out of everything. I just want to check out. I just want to be left alone. I just want to hide. I just want to go somewhere. And there's all kinds of terminology that people have, you know, attached to that. But I want you to look in the book of Galatians, chapter 6 and verse 9. I use this, and I've seen it so many times through the years to people, but this is a powerful word. This is what you need to hang on to. People really do get weary. Weary is a real deal problem. And we're living in a complicated world today where weariness is heightened to a great extent. There are people who are weary, who are tired spiritually, emotionally, and mentally. Mentally, they're tired. Emotionally, they're tired. Emotionally and mentally, they're tired. Spiritually, they're tired. And physically, they're tired. People just get tired. And when people get tired, they can do some crazy things. Oh, come on. Help me out. I know you excuse your kids because you've been visiting the family. And about 11 o'clock at night, that child starts screaming out, crying. Bloody murder, like you just pinched it or something. And you're looking at your husband, looking at your wife, and looking at your host and saying, I didn't do a thing to that child. They just suddenly start screaming out for no reason at all. And then you allude to this. Well, my kid's tired. They're not used to staying up this late. And they're just tired. They're just tired. How many knows you act different when you're tired? Are you with me this morning? I believe I'm going to have to come back and sit and preach with some of you. I'm saying this morning, you do things when you're weary. You do things when you're tired different than when you do when you've got a full burst of energy, a full burst of strength. You behave in a different way. You act different. You talk different. You may even look different. I don't know. I was at the hillbilly. Oh, thank the Lord for the hillbilly. I was at the hillbilly, and I'm not promoting a business, okay? But I was at the hillbilly a few weeks ago, and I told a few people this. The cashier is a sweet lady, and you know, she had some hair running down this way. It's like, well, she had her hair up, but she'd been, I don't know what she'd been doing. But then she had a strand of hair coming down this way, Scott. She was sort of sweating above her brow. She was a little bit red-faced, and she was just sort of out of sorts. And I said, sweetie, I said, you know, you look tired. And she said, you know, it's not just tired, Mr. Reynolds. I am perpetually tired. Did you hear that word? I'm suffering from perpetual tiredness. That means on my every hand, my every side, there's a challenge. There's a challenge coming from here. There's a challenge coming from here. There's a challenge coming from here. There's a challenge coming from there. And no matter which way I turn, there's a challenge. And I'm just tired. I'm just sick and tired. I'm just weary. I need something from God. Are you with me today? I don't know. Are you with me? I'm tired. I'm tired of going to church. I'm tired of worshiping. I'm tired of reading the word. I'm tired of being faithful. I'm just tired. I'm just sick and tired. I'm dog tired. God says, this is your day. Oh, Jesus. Let's break it down and make it real. Galatians 6 and 9. Are you with me? Huh. People who are trying their best get tired. People are doing everything they feel they can do to be right. And they're getting tired. There are, of course, people who are not doing everything they can. And they're getting tired. We live in a very tired world. A tired society. A tired where when things get tired, then things start breaking down. things start breaking down. Things break down. Things break down. Things break. Things that used to be strong break down. Morals begin to break down. Listen, faith begins to break down. Love begins to break down. Unity begins to break down. When people get tired, things begin to break down. This is what he says. Let's not grow weary. Paul said this. Let's don't grow weary. There's the weary word. Everybody say weary.
Weary.
Let's don't grow weary. Let's don't grow weary of doing good. Oh, I told you that God says your strength is coming in the mail. It's on the way. If you don't believe that, hear what Paul says. Paul says, for in due season, everybody say in due season. That means the right moment, the right time. God is never late. I want you to hear me. God isn't late. If you feel like he's late, he's not on your time clock. He's not on your calendar. But God will show up when you need that. Amen. Can you give the Lord some praise today? Don't be weary of doing good, for in due season, you're going to reap. In other words, your harvest is coming if we don't give up. A lot of people have given up. A lot of people have given up. A lot of people, and it's sort of tied to the end of days and things that would happen. He said, many will depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits. I'm not talking about just spirits that you would think would be seductive, like spirits of lust and spirits of carnality, spirits of things like that. Yes, that's true. But I'm talking about a spirit that would cause your heart and your spirit to compromise and tell you that you don't need this anymore. Let me tell you, sweetie, you need God more now than you've ever needed him in your life. You better not get yourself to the place you feel like you don't need God. You need him now worse than ever. Oh, you need him now. You needed him during that report. You needed him during that biopsy. And the Lord says, Roy, that's already in the mail. Just so happened that day, you went out and checked your mail, and they called and they said, Roy, it's already in the mail. And the mail was, God says, I took care of that. God's taking care of you, Bethany. God's taking care of you. Let's get where we're going. Oh, Jesus. So, he says, your harvest is coming. It's coming. It's coming in the mail. The Lord says, I'm going to renew your strength. Isaiah 35, this is some of the least quoted scriptures, but a powerful thing that we need to remember in verses 3 and 4. Say to those who are fearful hearted, be strong and do not fear. Behold, the Lord will come with a vengeance. Everybody say, the Lord's coming. The Lord's coming. I know he's coming on the clouds, but the Lord's coming. The Lord's coming. Amen. Wow, man, that ought to get you excited. If I said Governor so-and-so or President so-and-so was coming to your house, woo! Can you believe that? God says, I'm coming. He's coming. He's coming, and he comes right on the nick of time. He's coming. He says he's coming. Behold, your God is coming with the recompense of God, and he will come and he'll save you. We all need to just take heart. He's coming. He's coming. He's ready to pour out a freshness upon you. He's ready to pour out fresh water upon you. In that same chapter, I will pour out upon those that are thirsty. A thirsty soul is a tired soul, a weary soul, one that's been battling, one that's been facing opposition and difficulties through a great period of their life. But God says, I'm ready to pour out upon you streams of refreshing, to give you renewed strength, to give you renewed hope, so you can have what you need in this last hour before Jesus comes. Listen, you need God now, today. Can I say this? You need him more than your friends. Oh, you need him more than your social gatherings. Whoa, hear me out. You need him more than your job. You need him more than your money. You need him more. Listen, you need him more than your hobbies. You need God. Michelle, he is the breath that I literally breathe today. Do you understand that? If it wasn't for God, I wouldn't breathe. I wouldn't exist today. Oh, so how many is with me? Have you ever grown weary? Did you know? And I'm going to say this. It's one of the most common. There's not a lot said about it, but it's one of the most common enemies to attempt to get us to abort our journey, to stop our journey. Burnout, there's a term. There are times in teaching back through the years ago, I grew weary in teaching. There are times I wanted to quit. There were times that I thought it was not worth all the investment into it because I didn't see that much gain. Eventually, God showed me the gain, but I become weary. Have you ever been weary? Have you ever been tired? Have you ever wanted to quit something? Have you ever wanted to quit a job because you got weary in the job? Have you ever wanted to quit in your family? Oh, I didn't think I'd get anybody's hand there. Oh, no, I'm an upstanding parent. I've always got it together. I'm never tired. I don't ever get weary of my kids. Come on, get real. Some of the kids get weary. They want to check out on the family. They want to check out on the parents. They get tired of rules. They get tired of doing this and doing that and doing this and doing that. They just get tired. They get weary. Weariness is a common problem. It's a common problem. And all these demonic forces, all these things that happen in life can be demonically enforced and be persistent at times when we feel like that we can't go on. That the powers of darkness do not let up. They don't seem to let up. It don't seem to let up. It's one thing after another. In ministry, it's the same thing. It's one thing after the other. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Because when you deal with real people, and that's who we're dealing with, we deal with real issues and real problems. And people get weary of their issues, weary of their life. Oh, wow. Think about it this morning. All these negative emotions that swirl around us. Think of a society today. Think of a society today a present society that is influenced greatly by the things that go on around us. You know, in the racing world, and performance racing, whether it's by foot racing or if it's whatever kind of racing, or it's some kind of enduring sport, what I'm trying to say, people get weary in that competition. With a marathon runner, and I've shared this before, the Boston Marathon back years ago termed a term that we often sometimes use what we forget about. And Heath was talking about it earlier, how we in some kind of something that we want to gain victory over, and then in a race where it's required to endure and go through a lot of hardship. I don't know of anybody besides Miss Selena, but she's actually run in a marathon before. But when you get about 20 miles into the race, you get about 20 miles into the race in the Boston Marathon, they called it hitting a wall because there was a gradual incline, not a huge incline, not a huge mountain, not significant that on any good day that it wouldn't seem hard to you. But when you've already run 20 miles, are you hearing what I'm saying? When you've already run 20 miles, you've already been in the race this long, and then suddenly that molehill seems like Everest to you. And then, oh, how can I? There is, Roy, where a lot of successful runners stop in the race because they hit a wall. They hit a wall. They hit a wall. That's what Heath was talking about just a minute ago. When things are going well and you're fighting things off, but then suddenly you hit something that's more challenging that you wasn't looking for before. And so it zaps your strength. It zaps your strength. It sucks the life out of you. It takes it out of you. And they call this hitting a wall because it's there in the point of this race that more people quit the race than any other time in the competition. It's there when it gets grueling and it gets hard. It gets difficult, and there's an actual medical term there. Their body becomes so fatigued physically, their muscles start cramping up because of a lack of what in their muscle? Come on.
Sodium.
I can't hear you.
Sodium.
And other things. And so suddenly they get fatigued and they drop. And they give up in the race. There are people today, God's saying, this is no time to give up in your race. This is no time to stop. You don't stop in the point of difficulty. You keep going. Do you hear what I'm saying? God's trying to convey a word, and I don't know how many people are getting this today. We have to finish the race. Paul says, I fought the fight, I've kept the faith, and I finished my course. When I check out of this earth, I want to please God, and I want to know that I finished what God brought me here to finish. You see, you're not just here. You're here to complete a mission. You're here to complete a journey. You're here to fulfill purpose in God's kingdom. You're not just here. You're not just here. You're not just here to be here, but to finish a course. And this course gets difficulty. And it requires at this point in your life great endurance, great courage. When you hit the wall, you keep going beyond the wall. You keep pushing. I've known people, they get so far in their Christian faith and they hit a place of difficulty and they quit. They quit going to church. They quit reading their Bible. I told a person one time, what would happen if you wouldn't quit? When you got real discouraged, you got real down out. What if you just kept reading the Word? What if you kept just praising God? Even though you don't feel it, you're going to praise Him anyway. Even though you don't feel the Word, I'm going to read it anyway. I'm going to open God's Word up before me, and I'm going to read it anyway. I'm not going by what I feel. I'm going by what I know. And God said He would give me renewed strength. I'm going to tell you something right now. It's when you make that ultimate decision at that point is when God strengthens you to keep going. To keep going. No matter what. No matter what, you got to keep going. You got to keep going. And I want to keep going. But I'm going to allow some time for ministry here, because I believe that there are people here this morning that are weary, that have checked out. And so this is what happens in a race with a long distance endurance racer. They get something called the second wind. I don't even think some of you were listening right there. Forget about your grocery list right now, okay? Okay, I promise you it'll be there. I know that things are getting a little bit short sometimes, and things are getting weary with that. But listen, I promise you, God will take care of you. There'll still be a hamburger at Hardee's, and there'll still be a chicken leg at KFC. Just don't miss this word right here. Okay? He's the God of the second wind. He's the God of the second wind. When you think you don't have the wind, God says, I'll give you a second wind. I'm ready to give you something today if you want it. If you don't want it, then I'll go to somebody else who wants it. Are you hearing what I'm saying? He's the God of the second wind. Phew. Listen, I've experienced that. It's an actual phenomena in endurance racing. When they race, and so suddenly, with maybe a drink of a carb or a drink of water or some emotional spurt that happens in their life, suddenly they just get their wind back and they finish what God has told them to do. They finish. We finish. The racer finishes what they set out to do. God didn't set you in this race to be a quitter. God set you in this race to be victorious, to champion your family, to champion your kids, to champion your relatives, to champion those around you. You want to quit now? You better watch who's watching you. Somebody taking notes. And the devil will make sure you see. But today, God says, I'm ready to give a second wind. Oh, yes. Hallelujah. God set Elijah the prophet down in the middle of a valley, a deep, low place, filled with hopeless people that were bones of generations past who had died and fallen in a field of battle. And all that was left was their bones, the weariness of their hopelessness, their dreams. There are dreamers in this room here today. You better hear what I'm saying. You're a dreamer. You're a dreamer. God put you here to dream. He put you here to dream, not just hit balls out of ballparks. God set you here to dream. He set this body of believers here to dream. He set you in the middle of a community that needs your dreams. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You have a dream. MLK said that. I have a dream. Well, his dream is still living. And how you know your dream's from God is when the dreamer passes on, the dream keeps dreaming on. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Get your dream out of the dirt. Get it up. Get your dream out of the dirt. Don't throw away your dream. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Don't throw away your dream. God set you here to dream. He set you here to dream. And that valley was full of dead bones. Oh, can these bones live again? The Lord said, well, you know, Lord, you know, you got the answer to that. Oh, God's got the answer to what you need today. And you're in a valley full of dead things. God says, what I placed in you is meant to live, not to die. And so this is what God did. Those dreams had been alive at one time, marching on a field of battle, conquering nations and kingdoms. But they laid strewn out in a valley full of darkness. And then the prophet, then the Lord says, look what I'm getting ready to do. Prophesy to the winds, Elijah. Prophesy to the wind. Come on, speak to the north wind. Speak to the winds of the south. Speak to the winds of the east and west. Listen, friend, you've got friends and neighbors from the north, the south, the east, and the west that have given up on their dreams. They're tired, they're weary. Are you weary? Are you heavy laden? Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. Are you weary? Are you heavy laden? Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. Are you tired? Are you weary? Are you heavy laden this morning? Then maybe there's some things you need to tell Jesus today. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Are you hearing what I'm saying? Tell it to Jesus. Bring that brokenness. When he prophesied to the winds came and he breathed upon them. The wind breathed upon them. God blew his breath upon them, his ruach, his breath, the breath of God. The thing that keeps us going is the breath of God. The ruach, the breath of God. It's the wind of God. When God made man from the dust of the earth, he made this vessel and he reached down and he blowed into his nostrils the breath of life. And he became a living soul. It's God's breath that gives you life, not your strength. Breathed upon them. And the Bible said an exceedingly great army raised up. God began to bring things together because God gave them their second breath. John 20, his disciples met Jesus when Jesus revealed himself to him. And the Bible says that he entered the room. He said, receive this. And the Bible said, he breathed upon them and they received the Holy Ghost. You know what the church celebrated last week? Our second breath. Oh, you missed that. I knew you'd be checked out. It's too early for you to check out. I'm getting ready to close, but you've got to hear what I said. Pentecost was the church's second breath. God breathed upon you his life. His life isn't about just tongues. It's not just about gifts. It's about empowering you with life to keep dreaming, to change your world, to make a difference in the world that we live in. Are we weary? This is a weary day in which we live. And let me tell you some of the things that wear us down. And I'm closing. a very scary negative economy that drains you. Will I have enough money? Will I have enough? The rising prices of inflation, and that's all you see on the news. You don't see the good news. You don't see the remedies and the cures. You only see the negative aspects of a broken, of things that seem to be broken. A time of great uncertainty. Wouldn't you say today, how many will agree with me that this seems like a time of great uncertainty? Can I ask you another question if you'll be real? How many gets up most every day with things like this on your mind? Come on. So most of, some of you don't. Oh, awesome. Talk to me. I'm going to talk to you after the end. Because most of us, I'm going to be real. As a pastor, I'm thinking about these things constantly. When you think about them constantly, they wear you down. In Daniel 7, Daniel said the purpose of the enemy was to attack God and wear out the saints. If he can't beat you with one bomb, he'll wear you out. He'll wear you down. He'll deplete your energy. He'll deplete your strength. He'll get you tired and weary. Always things addressing on social media, negative things. Weariness, it comes in all kinds of forms, physical, emotional, spiritual. It can leave us feeling depleted, depressed, wondering if we can just take one more step. And God says today, I want to give you a second wind. Because you've hit a wall in your life. You've hit a wall in your life. You've hit a wall in your life, and that's why sometimes it's difficult to praise him. It's why it's difficult to be faithful, because you just don't have it. You don't have the get up. You don't have the drive. You don't have the motivation. If you go, you go to make the pastor happy or to check off a box and say, I've done that this week. You don't go because there's a passion in you that's driving you and say, like David, I was glad when they said, let's go unto the house of the Lord. Listen, you were ready this morning, brother. You were prime time ready this morning. You were ready to come and give God praise this morning because of his goodness. God's been far better to you than you could ever imagine. Just the fact you're sitting here today, God has been good to you. The fact that where God has extracted you to make this day possible is goodness of God. Amen? So today, are you weary? Are you heavy laden? Are you burdened? This is what Jesus said. I love this. This is one of those scriptures you learn in Sunday school and Bible school, but you don't repeat, you don't say anymore as adults, because you say, well, we said those things when we were a kid. You need to go back and start getting those kid verses out again and start reading them again. Come to me, Jesus says. Come unto me, all ye that are weary. Everybody say weary. Tired, broken, hopeless, dying inside, struggling to keep your head above the water, nervous, agitated, anxious, negative, bad moods. I can tell when people are tired by the moods. I see them all the time in Walmart. I smile at people. They go, what'd you do for me today? The joy of the Lord is your strength. You know what, Heather? You can be joyful when the world around you is dying. You can be joyful. I tell you, you'll win more people to Jesus with your joy than you will with, okay, I don't want to go there. Come to me, all you that are weary and burdened, and I'll give you rest. I'm closing. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm gentle and I'm humble in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. You know what you need to do? You need to be like the swallow. You need to find you a place of rest against your wall. Just make you a bed right there. Start lifting your hands and praising God, saying, God, I don't know where this is going, but I'm worshiping the God who has control of it all. Amen. Are you with me today? Woo! Wow. He'll give you comfort. He's going to give you rest. He's going to give you renewed strength. He's going to give you a second wind. That's what God did to Elijah. Gave him a second wind. When Elijah didn't think he could put one foot in front of another, he sent an angel to provide everything that he needed. And he touched him, not just once, but twice. And he told him to rise up and go on. God's telling you something today. I'm touching you today. You're sitting there waiting for an emotion. You're waiting for something. Woo! Run up and down your back. What you need is get the word of God running all over you and in you today. His word excites me. I'm not hooked on a feeling. There used to be a song like that, wasn't there? Come on, Sal, where's my song knower? I'm hooked on a feeling. A lot of people hooked on feelings. And the one feeling you're hooked on today is, Lord, I'm just tired. I'm weary. I'm exhausted. And there's some of you listening in this morning. You've given me testimonies. I'm just too tired, Pastor R. This is your day. Are you hearing what I'm saying? God's ready to blow a new breath upon you today. He's ready to strengthen, put wind in your sails again. Amen. Some of you need wind in your sails. So today, are we ready? Are you ready to receive a second wind? Receive strength for your tired, weary soul this morning? That's weary and faint-hearted. God says, I'm ready to send you your second wind. I'm ready. Quit listening. And right now, I feel like that we're battling this right now. I feel like this is what you're battling. You're sitting there listening to me, and you're listening to your exhaustion. You should be listening to the Lord, the word of the Lord. But you're sitting there listening to your exhaustion. And your exhaustion is giving you excuses. Wow, this can't be you today. But God says, I'm ready to breathe upon you a fresh wind of my spirit. Are you ready for that today? Are you ready to be strengthened? Are you ready to be revived? Are you ready to stand up and go forward in the day of battle? Let's do it. I want us to all stand to our feet. Are you hearing what Pastor R is saying this morning? Listen, I'm going to say this to you. This did not go like I thought. It did not go like I thought. It didn't go the way I thought that it would go, and God just turned things around. But that's okay. Weary. Are you weary? Is your soul weary this morning? Are you tired? Are you exhausted in your spirit? Have you contemplated thoughts of giving up? Even though you're here today, that's a good sign. But you need renewed strength. These testimonies today were powerful testimonies that should encourage us and renew our strength today. I told Roy not too long ago, I said, Roy, your place is up here in the place of worship. Seen that towel going, praising God, lifting God up, lifting Jesus up. So today, could we just slip our head, bow our head just for a second, and I want you to be real honest with me this morning. I want you to be as honest. Oh, man, don't check out on me yet. This is a time to be real and honest right now. How many say, Pastor R, I've really been weary, and I've been tired. I've been discouraged. I've been disheartened about all the things in my life, struggles, issues. Slip your hand up with mine and say, that's me, Pastor Harmon. I'll be real with you. Thank you for being real, 100% R-E-A-L, real. That's the only way God can help you is if you be real. You know, the word says, why do you resist the Holy Ghost? When the Spirit of God is moving, why do you say, I don't need that? When God knows what you need and He sends what you need, and then you callous your heart, then right now I'm going to ask you to do something. And there's other hands. I'll ask one more time. How many's tired? How many's weary? How many just worn? Come on, be real. I'm worn from the battles. I'm worn from the fight. I'm worn from the sickness. I'm worn from the problems at home. I'm worn from my marriage. I'm worn with my problems with my kids. I'm worn with the issues at work. I'm worn, Lord. I'm just worn of life this morning. Be real with me. That's the only way God can help you. Just slip your hand up with mine and say, Pastor, that's me. God says, I'm ready to give you a second wind. Right now, I want you right now, first of all, wherever you want to address this, if you want to come forward, or if you want to right there where you are, I don't matter. It doesn't matter to me. But I want you, as you exhale, as you give this out, as you give this to God, as you give this tiredness, this weariness, this frustration to God, then I want you to breathe back in the powerful presence of the Holy Ghost. Right now, come on. 1, 2, 3, let's go. Are you ready? Are you ready? God says, I'm giving you a second wind right now. A second wind, a second wind. I'm breathing upon you. I'm breathing upon you. Come on, I'm breathing upon you. I'm breathing upon you. Hallelujah. I'm breathing upon you. I'm breathing upon you. Yes. Can't you sense my breath? Can't you sense my spirit? I'm breathing upon you. I'm breathing upon you. I'm breathing upon you. I'm breathing upon you. I'm giving you a new praise. I'm giving you a new word. I'm giving you new encouragement. I'm giving you new strength. Right now, I'm doing that. Right now, I'm doing it. Come on. Come on, receive you, the Spirit of God. Receive the Spirit of God. Receive.